This is now our 13th lesson, and it's the final one. I hope they've been a blessing to you. Appreciate you putting up with me all these weeks, being attentive, listening, and supportive. I appreciate that. Well, let's pray, and we'll get into this last lesson. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together, and we ask that you would help us, help me to close out this final lesson in a fitting way, a way that brings glory and honor to you, to the Son, to Lord Jesus. Thank you for being with us, blessing us, and just be a help for me and a help for all here today. As we worship you. Amen. All right, today's lesson, again, it's the last one. It's going to be more or less an overview of all the things that we studied. Of course, we've got to condense it quite a bit, but just an overview. And I hope that's okay with you, but if you're like me, you're a leaky vessel. It's hard to absorb, you know, a lot. We need to review, we need repetition, so that's kind of what we'll do today. Early on, we asked the question, why study the cults? We're studying the cults. Why? Why study them? Well, the answer, cults are dangerous. They are dangerous, they're poisonous, they're lethal, deadly. Those are strong words, but they're true words. And they've caused the eternal ruin of millions of people. Isn't that something? The cults have caused the eternal ruin of millions of people, turned masses of people away from the true Jesus and from His Word. That's what the Lord warned. He told us. He warned us. He said many, not few, many, many would be deceived and follow after a false Christ, false gospel. He told us, warned us, it's a narrow way. And He told us that few there be that find it. And that is the truth. We live in a day of deception. Deception's all around us. False teachings all around us. False teachers. Even Barnes & Noble. Marla and I go there sometimes. All these so-called Christian books at Walmart. Just deception all around us. There's 1.2 billion Catholics, and they're deceived. 1.8 billion Muslims, deceived. Myriads of false religions, those people are deceived. Militant atheism, that's growing. You probably know that. It's growing in America, in our culture, Europe, on campuses. But again, there's false teachings everywhere. Of course, with the cults. And that's why we're studying the cults. We want to be aware of their false teachings, and we want to expose them, warn people. But we've got all these threats around us. We need to be discerning. We need to protect ourselves, protect our families. We don't want anyone in this body, in this church, to be deceived by false teachers. That's why we study the cults. Also, we're to fulfill the Great Commission. And that includes the cults. Those Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, whomever, the Great Commission's for them too. They think they're out there doing it, but they actually need the gospel. But with all this deception around us, doesn't it make you really appreciate your salvation? That you are not deceived. I know I'm so thankful. Well, we asked and we answered the question, what is a cult? A cult is a group of people whose system of beliefs and or religious practices contradict true Orthodox Christianity, yet they claim to be Christian. And that's the key. They claim to be Christian, but they deny some essential cardinal truth of the faith. Cults go astray two ways. Well, many ways, but theologically, that refers to doctrine. They deny the Trinity, deity of Christ, things like that. Theological. And sociologically, that refers to practice. Often they're abusive and controlling, and it's behaviors. But they go astray those two ways. We learned early on, one of our first or second sessions, that America has actually been a breeding ground for the cults. Do you know that? Why is that? Well, we have this wonderful principle of freedom of religion, and I'm glad we have it. But because of that, there's an environment where the cults can rise up, and they're free, to do that. Cults have taken advantage of that freedom. Now, they started here, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, in America, 1800s, and then now they've spread throughout the world. But it's this freedom of religion. It's kind of like the internet. If you remember me saying that. The internet's good. A lot of truth there. I'm so blessed by the internet, but there's a lot of bad. Freedom of religion is good. We're blessed by it, but there's some baggage that goes with it. We asked and answered the question, why do people join cults? Well, there's a lot of reasons. I'll give you a few. We went over that quite a bit, but people have a strong desire to belong. Life is just hard. We know that. You don't have to live very long to know life is hard. People get lonely. There's these things that come into our lives, maybe divorce, lose a spouse, tragedies. And there's that cultist knocking on your door. And, they seem to be there to help. Also, people have questions. Why am I here? What's life all about? They seem to have the answers. People, naturally, they kind of want to have an impact on the world and maybe feel like they can do that through, they see the Jehovah's Witnesses going door to door, and, man, they're out there, and they want to have an impact. Young people are very vulnerable. A lot of times they're just bored, and they want to do something that's kind of exciting, so they're vulnerable. People just have this innate desire. It's in all of us to be religious, and the cults fill that void that we have. But most often, why do people join cults? It's because of the influence of family and friends. And people just don't know the Bible. And they get involved in these groups, and they don't know what they teach is not biblical. But made the point, and it's a good point, you have to remember the attraction to cults. It's not doctrinal. Sometimes it is. But it's really emotional and social many, many times. How should we view people that are trapped in cults? We should feel sorry for them. They are going to hell. Lost people are going to hell. But these cultists, they feel like they believe they're right with God. And that moment when they close their eyes and die, they are going to awaken and see not the smile of the Lord, but His anger. And they will experience His wrath forever. But can you imagine that moment? You think you've been serving God, but they're not truly born again. They're not saved. They die and they hear, depart. But how frightening. But that's not only for a moment. That goes on forever. So we should feel sorry for them. I remember an old Puritan, I'm not sure, but he said, ever dying, but never dead. That's what they will experience forever. No goodness from God. But don't be afraid of them. It's easy to think they're such experts. Well, they really don't know the Word very well. They know selective verses, especially the Jehovah's Witnesses. they've got their little presentation and their verses down pat, but they don't typically know the Bible. Why is that? Because they're spending a lot of time reading those magazines, the Awake magazine and things like that. They're not really studying the Word. How should we view them? Well, don't think of them as weirdos and robots. They're people. They're just people. They have families, whole jobs. They have stress. They've got to pay bills, you know, just like we do. We want to treat them like, put yourself in their place if you were deceived. We want to treat them like we would want to be treated. They're often very disciplined, dedicated, very moral. Now, they have a form of religion. It's just a form of religion. They have a zeal. It's a zeal without knowledge. But a lot of times they are moral people. They're trying to do what is right. They just don't have the Spirit in them. How should we view them? Know this. They're that dirty little secret with the cults. They are often really struggling. They are often really depressed. Think about it. They're on that, what's that, the wheel? Treadmill. They're going, trying to run faster and keep up, and they just can't do it. They don't have that peace from God. A lot of anxieties, a lot of doubts. Remember that Mormon gospel? It's the impossible gospel. You just can't keep that. I'm thankful for grace. Who is susceptible to deception? That's right. Everyone. We all are. We've got to be careful of pride, thinking that can't happen to us. We would be deceived if God hadn't revealed Himself to us. I was deceived for a long, long time. But there's no particular personality trait. There are people that are maybe a little more gullible in this world, and maybe they're kind of easy prey. But intelligent people, rich people, poor people fall prey to the cults. Make no mistake, when they're knocking on your door, they're wanting you to become one of them. They're wanting, obviously, to snatch you out and extract you from a church like this and into their cult. Remember this. Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, exactly. We want to give them the truth and trust God is going to save His people. Remember Walter Martin, cult expert. He said this. He said the average Jehovah's Witness can turn the average Christian into a doctrinal pretzel in less than 30 seconds. That's kind of scary. Where are the cults? They're at our doors. They knock at our doors. They're on college campuses. They're on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. Isn't that something? There's people who deny the Trinity that preach on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. But they're where people hang out. They're our neighbors. Sometimes they're next door. They may be at your work. You know, you may work with one of these folks. They're all around. We spend a lot of time talking about false teachers, and I think rightly so. Kind of building a foundation before we really got into Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses. But few things are more emphasized in the New Testament than the warnings about false teachers and false prophets. What do? They deny our Master, our Lord, and they're condemned. And they will be severely judged. You see, it's bad to be deceived. It's bad to be deceived, but it's even worse when you're deceiving other people. And that's what these false teachers do. Here's a list of characteristics of them. I really believe this about these false teachers. They are narcissistic. They're proud. They have delusions of grandeur, inflated views of themselves. Remember some of the quotes I told you about what Joseph Smith said and Charles Taze Russell. Just amazing how they viewed themselves. They're often charismatic personalities. They can be persuasive, manipulative, authoritarian. They're power hungry, controlling, clever. They can be charming and friendly. You know, think of, I liken it kind of to a young girl, that first boyfriend, and he's just so sweet. He's so charming and nice and those kind of things. And then next thing you know, he gets real controlling and maybe abusive. And that's kind of how the cults are and these leaders can be. But they can turn on the charm, but they seduce. They seduce people with their words. And they're savage wolves, and they will not spare the flock. They take people's money. Remember Judge Rutherford, all these Jehovah's Witnesses, they're so poor. Depression. He's living like a king. House in Europe, and he builds this mansion in San Diego and lives there. He's living like a king. But they take people's money. They steal their identities. And ultimately, they take their souls. We spent a lot of time on Charles Taze Russell. Talked about him quite a bit. The Jehovah's Witness founder. And then you need that second one to keep things going. That was Judge Rutherford. And then with the Mormons, it was Joseph Smith. And then Brigham Young. I could tell you stories. We didn't have time when I was talking about him. But I could tell you stories, make you cringe about things he had done. Really shocking things. But these men, they're sensual. They're sinful. They lack humility and godly character. You know, these false teachers, they are more dangerous. Think about this. I've heard this, maybe not exactly this way, but a false teacher is more dangerous than a man with a gun. How frightening that would be. Somebody bursts in here, has got a gun, starts shooting, and that's happened in churches. All that man could do with a gun, kill your body. But false teachers, they ruin souls. So they're more dangerous than a man with a gun. Took us a while to get there. I wanted to build a little bit of a foundation. But we finally zoned in on the Watchtower Bible Tract Society, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Mormons. We ended up really focusing on them. When we first started, I was thinking we'd do a bunch of cults. Remember that first time? And then I thought, no, I would rather really go a little deeper with, you know, the groups that we're going to come into contact with out there. So we kind of built a foundation. Another reason I wanted to focus on Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, they have territories. Did you know that they mark them out? You know, a Kingdom Hall will have this territory here in this neighborhood, and they want to knock on your door four times a year. Isn't that something? They spend, it blew me away, but 2 billion hours a year going door to door. That's a lot of hours. Mormons spend millions on public relations, and they send out, remember that number, 88,000 missionaries out there. 88,000 of them. And all they're doing is knocking on doors and trying to convert people. That's their whole focus. And there's 88,000 of them out there. Remember I mentioned the Southern Baptist Convention, biggest Protestant denomination? 4,000 missionaries out there compared to 88,000 with the Mormons. Of both groups, they are very evangelistic. I read an article just recently. The Jehovah's Witnesses were at the Final Four basketball, NCAA. There was 3,900 of them out there, all around San Antonio for a couple of weeks. They had those little display carts I told you about. They were at the Super Bowl in Minnesota. I think they said they handed out 85,000 pamphlets over a period of a few days, I guess. It's amazing how evangelistic they are. Jehovah's Witness boasts that they have 50 new congregations each week in the world. Mormons claim to add 1 million new members every 3 years. But I can't stress enough that these folks, they are not Christians. They oppose Christianity. We can't link arms with them, can't call them brothers and sisters. They oppose Christ and His gospel. It can be very tricky, especially with the Mormons, because they hijack Christian words. They can sound so Christian because they talk about grace. They talk about Jesus. But their grace isn't our grace. Their Jesus is not our Jesus. I hope you really got that. But be careful. They may sound Christian, but when you really ask them, what do you mean by grace? Who really is Jesus? It seems like Jehovah's Witnesses, their whole purpose is just to deny the deity of Christ. And that's their thing. And Mormons, their thing, it seems to be they want to assimilate in. They just want to be accepted as another Christian denomination. But both groups, they are wrought with errors, you can say, from head to toe. It's like buttoning up a shirt. You're buttoning your shirt, you get it off on that first button. All those buttons are off. And they are off, off, off from head to toe. Remember just, we're into talking about the Mormons here just recently. Some of those bizarre things they believe, just really out there things. And you wonder, how in the world can they believe that? Well, it's this phenomenon, it's called gradualism. Remember we talked about how do you eat an elephant? It's one little bite at a time. And they don't give these folks these strange doctrines right away. They feed it to them very, very slowly. But they are off. And why? Well, they don't esteem the Word. They don't truly esteem the Word of God. And they don't have the Holy Spirit. So it just makes sense that they're going to be off. They have false views of salvation, erroneous views of the afterlife. Jehovah's Witnesses deny that there's a hell, eternal hell. Both use fear and controlling, and both really devalue the cross. We really tried to make this the focus, what the cults do. The cults attack the biggies. You know, their founder is really the devil, so it makes sense. But their guns are pointed, aimed at who? At Jesus. Their main target is the captain of our salvation, Jesus. They want to demote him. Jehovah's Witnesses, oh, he's the Archangel Michael, just an angel. Here he is, the everlasting God, and he's just an angel. Mormons say he's the spirit brother of Lucifer, a man exalted to be a god. They attack the Trinity. We spent a whole session on the Trinity, but they misrepresent what we believe about that high and holy doctrine of the Trinity. They attack the Word of God. Jehovah's Witnesses have a translation, a mistranslation, the New World Translation. James White said something about that's the most dangerous, this isn't exactly how he said it, but the most dangerous anti-Christian piece of literature in the world. That's what James White thought about the New World Translation. Remember, the Mormons have these additional revelations, the Book of Mormon, Pearl of Great Price, Doctrine and Covenants, and then the King James Bible. Only one has a condition added to it. It's the Bible, as long as it's correctly translated. You don't hear that with these other revelations. But with the Bible, oh, we believe it, as long as it's correctly translated. That's their escape clause. They attack the gospel. There is no grace there. It's a counterfeit works righteousness gospel. They deny salvation by grace alone. I heard this the other night. Grace. Think about grace. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. Isn't that good? We stress that people have personalities. Cults have personalities as well. Jehovah's Witnesses are that they're high control. They don't allow dissent. They're kind of harsh. Lots of rules. Very zealous. When they talk about going out there, door to door, that's not a suggestion. You have to be doing that if you're in right relationship with Jehovah and his organization. If you're not doing that, you're not going to be saved at Armageddon. Mormons, they try to give that good first impression. They're family oriented, but very subjective. Jehovah's Witnesses are more into the, truth driven. Now they have that false Bible, New World Translation, but they're more word oriented. Mormons are more subjective, feelings, that burning in the bosom. Remember that. We looked at 20 do's and don'ts. I won't give you 20, just a few here. Some do's and don'ts. Do pray for them. Pray that they'll see what the cult teaches and what the Bible teaches. It's not the same. Pray before and pray after you talk with them. Be patient. Remember how easily we can be deceived, that we were once deceived. Give them the gospel. That's what they need. Don't think, I just want to have this battle, theological battle. I want to win this battle. Well, they need the gospel. We want them to be saved. And they won't be saved unless they hear the gospel and believe the gospel. That's their greatest need. Give them your testimony. Now, your testimony is not the gospel. My testimony is not the gospel. But you can weave the gospel in with your testimony. And you can do that in just a couple minutes when they come to your door. Remember, tell them how you know you're going to heaven. Not because of you and what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done. And they do not have that assurance. There's no Mormon on this planet, no Jehovah's Witness on the planet that has assurance of salvation. Remember, stay calm. That can be hard sometimes, but remember that emotions go high. What goes down? Emotions go high. Our critical thinking goes down. So try, to stay calm. Don't play Bible ping pong where you're just going back and forth all these scriptures. If you're really sitting down with one, focus on that scripture that you want to focus on. They'll want to take you somewhere else. Well, I don't know the answer to that. So they want to rabbit trail you. Stay focused on your point. And you've got to maintain the control of the conversation. Yes, you can let them talk. But you've got to be able to go on the offensive. Ask strategic questions. Right? Remember, you can ask them, who raised Jesus from the dead? That's one of my favorite things to do when I just have a real short amount of time with them. You got to get them to think. See, they're in their rote presentation mode, and you got to get them thinking critically. Who raised Jesus from the dead? They're inevitably going to tell you, Jehovah raised Jesus from the dead. You can take them to John 2, 18, 19 and show them Jesus raised himself from the dead. That is a great verse. That's one I use a lot. I've never heard one give me a good answer for how did Jesus raise himself from the dead. You told me Jehovah raised Jesus from the dead. But ask these strategic questions. We went over that a little bit. Focus on the Bible, the scriptures. It can be as simple as this. That's not what the Bible says. That's wrong. This is what the Bible says. Isn't that simple? That's not what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. And of course, you have to know the word. But what's the antidote for the poison of the cults? It's the Word of God and sound doctrine. So use your sword. Well, know this. It is a miracle. It really is a miracle when somebody comes out of a cult. We talked about some people who have. But a lot of them, they leave the cult. Sometimes they're disfellowshipped. They were fornicating or something and they get disfellowshipped. Especially Jehovah's Witnesses will do that pretty quickly. And they leave this cult. And they'll still think Jehovah's Witnesses have the truth. But they're just not part of the group anymore. A lot of these folks leave. Some of them, they see this isn't the truth. They see all these problems, these false prophecies. Remember those millions of people? I can't remember quite the number, but it was a ton of folks that left Jehovah's Witnesses after that 1975 false prophecy. Well, they leave. And some of them become Christians, but a lot of them don't. They become alcoholics. They become atheists. They join other cults. We met, who's that girl, Marla? Krista. Lord kept causing us to bump into Krista at the Walmart. All the time we're bumping into Krista, cultists. But she was a Jehovah's Witness. She leaves them. Then she became a Oneness Pentecostal. Joined another cult. But it is a miracle when they leave. Remember, a guy said this. He said, not exactly like this, but he said the cults, they're like a strong drink. Like a drug. Very addicting. You know, think they control their entire lives. Jehovah's Witnesses often go to 5 meetings a week. Every one of their friends is a Jehovah's Witness. Even their businesses, their associates, it's all other Jehovah's Witnesses. Family. Can you imagine leaving? When you leave, you're leaving everything. You're leaving everything. So it is a miracle. I remember I got that call once, and my friend, co-worker, was a Jehovah's Witness when he was younger, but then still thought they were the truth. And I was able to share with him the gospel, and then he gives me that call years later. Dell, I got saved. But people do get saved. There's a couple I told you about. They saw the error of Jehovah's Witnesses, but they didn't know where to go. I can see their face and their testimony. We didn't know where to go. Didn't know what to do. And then all of a sudden it hit them. We can go to Jesus. We can go to Jesus. And that's what they did. They went to Jesus and they were saved. But a lot of folks, they don't know where to go when they leave. Remember Micah? We just talked about Micah. His mom was a BYU professor. And his whole family's Mormon. And he's on the mission field. And while he's on the mission field, the Lord saves his soul. But how did it happen? He had to hear the gospel. And a Baptist pastor, Micah was going to convert this guy and his congregation. And no, he heard the truth and you know, God worked in his heart. Then Micah goes back and his mother, this BYU professor, she leaves Mormonism. The father, the brothers. So God is doing, you know, some great, great things out there. I really want to encourage you. We just have a few minutes. Time flies. But there's this quote by Walter Martin. Very convicting. Listen to this. It's one of those quotes you probably just remember. Are you willing to do for the truth what the cults do for a lie? I mean, they are out there for a lie. We need to be evangelistic. We need to reach out to people. Are you willing to do for the truth what the cults do for a lie? And I want to encourage you. If you didn't listen to a word I said these 13 weeks, didn't hear a word about Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, all these things we talked about, you still have enough to reach out to them. If you know the gospel, if you know God's gospel, you've got enough to give them. Okay, we spent a lot of time with, you know, talking about doctrine and strategies and things. But if you just know the gospel, you know enough to reach these folks. Closing up here in 3 minutes. These two books, they really have helped me a lot. This one, it's all marked up, used it a lot over the years. And it's not like I started page one and read through the whole thing. I'll just, you know, sometimes, you know, go where I need to go. You know, I want to remind myself of some verse or something. But this is a really good book if you're interested in learning more. Reasoning from the Scriptures with Jehovah's Witnesses by Ron Rhodes. And then he's got another one. Reasoning from the Scriptures with the Mormons, Ron Rhodes. And There's a lot in here. Questions you can ask a Mormon, questions you can ask a Jehovah's Witness. We looked at a lot of verses. We looked at John 8:58, John 17:3. We were in Galatians, Ephesians, Isaiah, Revelations. Remember Revelation? Jesus is who? He's the Alpha and Omega. Remember how you can show the Jehovah's Witnesses that? We were in Colossians. But every time when you give the truth about a scripture, those Jehovah's Witnesses, they won't take your track, will they? But every time, if you gave them the truth about a scripture, every time they read that certain verse, every time they read John 2:18-19 about Jesus raising himself from the dead, that's going to bug them. Every time they go there. So leave them with scripture. One last thing. A strategy. I really like this. I remember telling you this. It's the tell me your gospel strategy. Paul Washer, heard him talk about this, how he did this with Jehovah's Witness at his door. Remember, break the ice a little bit with them there at the door. You can invite them in, whatever. And you ask them, can you please tell me your gospel in 3 minutes? Now, that's important. Give me your 3-minute gospel. Otherwise, they'll go on and on for 30 minutes and then, no, we got to go. Give me your gospel in 3 minutes. And then this is important. Say again, is that your gospel? Was that your gospel? Give them a chance to really clarify. And they are not going to give you, obviously, the true gospel. They're not. They don't know the true gospel. They're going to talk about baptism. They're going to talk about being part of an organization, ordinances and practices and different things. They're not going to give you the gospel. And that's your gospel? And then you take them to 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Where it says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you receive and in which you stand, by which also you were saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I received. Here's the gospel. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You give them. That's the gospel. The gospel is the person and the work of Jesus. And then you put it on them. You didn't tell me those things. Isn't that something? You didn't mention all those things. You didn't mention the true gospel. And you lovingly do that. You can then take them to Galatians about how people turn from the grace of Christ and turn to a different gospel, another Jesus. All right. Well, what a blessing it's been. And again, thank you for always being attentive. And again, I hope it was a blessing this time. But let's pray. Let's thank the Lord. Lord, we do thank you. Thank you for every person here. Lord, I thank you that we are in the truth. We are yours. Give us a heart, a burden for lost people. Those cultists that come to our doors, give us a desire to give them the truth. Lord, we love you and we pray your blessings upon the rest of this service today. Amen.